ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
There are people today who think they're in total control, right? They think that they are doing their own thing. They're the dictator. They're the leader. But in the end, it says they're going to be brought down. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Verse 12. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Wow. Again, it's just speaking of humility. We should every day say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me, because I couldn't do this on my own. Now, in some of our situations, are we going through more difficult things than other people? Absolutely. But every day we should thank the Lord that he saved us. I mean, think about that. That's pretty incredible. If that's the only thing that God has ever given to us is our salvation, there is nothing more we need. Because I'll tell you, this life is very brief here on the earth. And we'll have an eternity with the Lord. I love my time here. I love serving God. And I look forward to the day when I'm standing before him. But I don't want to just take this time and just be upset all the time. I want to rejoice in the Lord. I think of Paul in his letter to the Philippians. While he was in prison for his faith, chained to Roman soldiers, writes an epistle of joy. That's what Philippians is called. Because he sees the hand of God still working. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing right now, can your life be an epistle of joy or a letter of joy to people who see your life, who are reading your life? Because many of them will never read a Bible, but they will read you. What are they reading? You know, verses we know probably pretty well is Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Absolutely. I mean, you've seen the races, right? The running races where these guys, you know, they're running and they're in the lead. And the finish line is, you know, maybe 20 yards away. And what do? As the other guy's passing them and they lose the race. It happens. Why did they fall? Pride. If they would have just continued on with a humble spirit, instead of trying to show off, they would have made it. But they didn't. And they lost the race. I think I've told you this story before, but it was during the Battle of the Wilderness in the Civil War. The Union General John Sedgwick was inspecting his troops. And at one point he came to some of these fortifications over which he gazed out in the direction of the enemy. And his officers, you know, kind of warned him and said, you know, it's unwise to pass by these fortifications looking up. You know, get down low so they can't see you. Well, nonsense, the general said. They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance. As they hit him and he died. Pride brought him down, right? Got to be careful. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let me share this with you, showing you how pride, jealousy can destroy relationships. I think this is important because the Bible speaks a lot about pride. It's brimmed with stories and parables about it. And the Lord hates pride. Proverbs chapter 6. And he looks at it from afar. Psalm 138:2. It's interesting because the Bible refers to pride by several names. Self-exaltation, haughtiness, puffed up, lofty, conceit, arrogance, boastfulness. It has many faces, different forms. And I think many times we're just unaware of it in our hearts. But we struggle with it in some way or another. And it's a tough one, and it leads to destruction. Malachi 4:1, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Wow. You know, again, you've probably heard this, but there was a priest, a doctor, a politician, and a scientist, and a boy. And they were traveling in an airplane. And suddenly the plane's engine started to fail. I mean, talk about fear, right? And the pilot desperately tried to fix the problem without success, and he told the passengers to each grab a parachute and jump off because the plane was going to crash. So pilot's gone with his parachute, right? He jumps out. But there's only 4 parachutes left. Well, the politician grabbed one and said, "You know, I'm an important man. I work to make important laws, so the people need me." And he jumped out of the plane. Well, the doctor grabbed the 2nd parachute and said, "I have an important job. I save people's lives, so the people need me." And he jumped off the plane. The scientist, of course, grabbed the 3rd parachute and said, "Look, I'm among the world's most intelligent men. The people need intelligent men like me," and jumped off the plane. Well, the priest then turned to the boy and said, "You know, I'm old. I've lived a full life, but you're young and still have a long life before you. You take the last parachute." Well, the boy kind of looked at the priest and said, "You know what? Don't worry about it. The world's most intelligent man took my backpack." Yeah. Happens, right? And even with relationships, we have these problems. It kills and destroys relationships. We have to be careful. If you're struggling with a relationship or relationships, here's what you do. Repent before God, and as jealous as you may be towards them, as much as your pride won't allow you to be reconciled, put the cross of Jesus into the middle of it and allow those bitter waters, those bitter relationships to be restored. Remember when the children of Israel were on their wilderness wanderings and they came to a water hole. And imagine, you got to have enough water for 2.5-3 million people. It's not like they can carry all that water. So they come to this water hole and the waters are bitter. And people are upset. And God tells Moses, take a tree and place it in the middle of those waters. And it made those bitter waters sweet. And I guarantee you, if you are willing to put the cross of Jesus Christ in the middle of those situations, those bitter situations, God will bring healing. Now, they may not agree with it. They may not receive it. But you will no longer be bitter, but sweet. We can't change other people. We would like to. But we do the best that we can and let those things go then. Then it's up to them to respond to what we've done, how we are trying to restore the relationship. And I think it's important. And for Gideon, you know, maybe the men of Ephraim, remember when he was calling for troops? Maybe Ephraim didn't send any troops the first time, huh? I don't know. They weren't part of the 32,000 soldiers that came. Here we are in this situation. Great victory. And this is what happens a lot of times as Christians, right? We have this great victory, and all of a sudden, here is someone, maybe a brother or sister in the Lord or other people that are trying to destroy what God is doing. This could have turned into a war, at least some division within the nation of Israel. And how is Gideon going to handle this? Well, you thought we'd never get there, I bet, huh? Look at verse 2 of Judges chapter 8. "So he said to them, what have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered you into the delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison with you?" Then their anger toward him abated or was subsided when he said that. Like I said, I've called these verses, and I've actually called this study "Diffusing the Bomb." And obviously, it's ready to explode here. Gideon could have said, "Hey, guys, God wanted a mighty man of valor, and he called me, not you, so back off." Was that true? Well, yeah, it was true. God had called him. God called Gideon to lead them And this wouldn't have solved the problem. It would have made it obviously a lot worse. There would have been an explosion. And what he does here is amazing. He humbles himself. And he tells the men of Ephraim, look, man, what you did far outweighed anything that I have done. My work was nothing compared to yours. And I'm sure they were thinking, oh, go ahead, tell us more, right? And basically he said, God delivered the princes of Midian into your hand, Oreb and Zeb. And thus the gleaning of Ephraim is better than our whole harvest. And look at the response. Then their anger toward him abated when he said that. It subsided. It went away. He defused the bomb. This was very wise remarks by Gideon, because, wow, the problems that could have arose. He wisely dealt with it. I like that. You know, in Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise use knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Yeah, that's a good lesson for us to learn. Remember when Solomon's son took over, Rehoboam, right? And the nation was not divided yet. The people under Jeroboam now are asking, hey, could you ease up on us? You know, Solomon put a heavy burden upon us. It was tough. Can you ease up on us? And Rehoboam said, well, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. So he calls for his wise men and they say, you know what? Ease up on the people, take care of them, and they will follow you wherever you go. And then he asks his friends, what should we do? What should I do? Oh, you got to crack the whip, baby. You got to be hard on them. You got to beat them into subjection. You don't give them an inch. And he listened to the counsel of the young men instead of the wise men, and the nation was divided. Harsh words really don't work, right? Ronald Reagan said, there's no limit to what a man can accomplish if he doesn't care who gets the credit. And in reality, if you think about it, none of us could take the credit because it's always God who's working, right? So if I'm taking the credit, look at what I have done, look at what I have built, you probably don't want to stand close to me because God's got to do some work. It's all about God. I need to humble myself. That's pride. And that's what we see Gideon humble himself, and the situation's resolved. But man, he could have let pride and jealousy get in the way. You're taking credit for me? I was the one in battle. And God called me, didn't call you. So what's the matter, you? Right? He had a little Italian in him, I think. It is hard to let go. Sometimes we do things, we work really hard, and someone else wants to take all the credit. In the end, it doesn't matter, like I said, because God gets the glory. I like that. I'll give you one example on humility from a sports figure, which is kind of almost an oxymoron, right? Humility from a sports figure. I mean, just watch a football game and they score a touchdown. It's like they saved the world from some incurable disease, cancer or something. No, you just did your job. You scored a touchdown. But anyway, not a lot of humility there. But this is about Peyton Manning. And it was a very interesting article. It says, with 510 passes into the end zone, Peyton Manning stands alone as the NFL's all-time touchdown king. With 5 league MVP trophies to his name, he's the only player ever to have won a quintet of the prestigious award. With 66,812 passing yards to his name, he is by far the NFL's most prolific passer amongst active quarterbacks. Obviously, this is when he was still playing. But while Manning's stats scream glamour, her persona does not. Read any story about people who have had a personal experience with the record-breaking star, a man who has everything to brag about, and what you'll find are anecdotes about a guy who does anything but. By 2012, Manning had given the franchise 4 MVP seasons, a Super Bowl, and a second all-time 208 consecutive starts before missing the 2011 season after having neck surgery. Still, the Coats decided to get rid of Manning, a living legend, in favor of Andrew Luck, a talented prospect but nonetheless unproved commodity. Despite having the grounds to be enraged, Manning participated in his own farewell press conference with typical class, and then he said, "We all know that nothing lasts forever. Times change, circumstances change, and that's the reality of playing the NFL. But I'll always be a Colt. I will always be. That'll never change." Isn't that interesting? They just got rid of him and hired this young whippersnapper, Andrew Luck, right? He could have been angry. "How could you get rid of me? Do you know who I am? I'm Peyton Manning. Haven't you seen my commercials?" I mean, I don't know, whatever. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He even had sympathy for the Colts owner, Jim Irsay, who essentially was the one who booted Manning out of Indy. After swallowing his most embarrassing loss ever, a 43-8 Super Bowl defeat to the Seattle Seahawks in this past February, Manning went out of his way to check on the opposing team's most polarizing players, Richard Sherman, after the cornerback had injured his ankle during the game. Sherman was awestruck by Manning's class, considering the circumstances, and was quoted as saying by Pro Football Talk, "He was really concerned about my well-being. After a game like that, a guy who's still classy enough to say, 'How are you doing?' to show that kind of concern for an opponent shows a lot of humility and class. Peyton is the classiest person player I've ever met. I can learn so much from him. Thank you for being a great competitor and person, Richard Sherman." Manning might have felt miserably or failed miserably in his attempt to win his second ring during last season's Super Bowl, but it is that defeat that prompted one of his greatest fans to express why she loved him so much. It is telling that for an athlete who has all the stats in the world, none of them were mentioned in this letter, which drew attention from TV stations and newspapers across the country. This is what she wrote. "Mr. Manning, whether you win another game, your accomplishments in football are nothing short of remarkable. I want you to know that this mom of two young boys who already recognize you're different from the others believes your legacy has never been stronger. Legacy is something handed down that matters. It's something that matters to young players and athletes and kids looking for mentors to help them find their way. You hand down examples of work ethic, of courage to come back after a career-threatening injury, of humility in victory, and graciousness in defeat." Wow. That's a remarkable statement. You know, usually when we're praising sports heroes, it's for all the accomplishments that they made, all the stats that they made, not their behavior. Because a lot of times the behavior is not very good. But here we see it. You know, humility can be seen in so many ways, guys, in our lives. And they're an example to others how we should live out our faith. Our children, our grandchildren, our family, our friends, our coworkers. Are we humble? Or are we have jealousy and pride? And jealousy and pride is like that, you know, double-headed, ugly monster that will destroy relationships. You have to cut off the heads of that ugly monster by humbling yourself before God and allow his love to flow from your life and touch the lives of others. And what happens many times is fights end, conflicts stop, divisions healed, relationships restored. Not every time. There are some people that just don't want to receive that. But you do your part. You know, God never is concerned about the other person. He's concerned about you. He'll deal with the other person. But where are you at? Gideon was a man who was concerned for the welfare of the children of Israel and not for himself. He didn't need the pats on the back or the acclamades. He didn't need any of that. What he wanted is to have this relationship restored. And it happened. We're going to see later on, here in Judges chapter 8, that he does let pride go to his head a little bit. And he does some things that he shouldn't have done. But right here, man, it's perfect. Well, then how come he stumbled? How come we stumble? Because we're not listening to God. That's the reality. He's a man of God. There's no doubt. But he still stumbled because he's a man. And he that flesh nature loves to resurrect itself and cause problems. I mean, you think about this. The men of Ephraim went at war, right? They were angry at Gideon. They were mad. And Gideon just speaks peace and comfort to them. And the anger that they had was turned away. And they had peace and were able to go and defeat the enemy. We need to learn the lesson and not fight with each other, but go to battle against the enemy. Why? So many can come to saving faith in Jesus by our witness. Many of you know that I'm not really dealing with this whole issue with COVID a whole lot, you know, and fighting for this and fighting for that. Because the reality is, and I'll just be honest with you, I don't even know what the whole thing is. We don't know this virus enough, and you know, people want to jump to conclusions. But here's the thing: whatever way you feel, why fight over it? That's not the battle. The battle is out there, and it's the lives, the souls of people. Things are going to get more intense. I don't even know. I don't know what's going to happen with the elections. I won't even speculate because I don't know. But there's one thing I do know. And I pray, Lord, may this never change, this passion of my heart and my life. And that thing is to bring the gospel message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Because that's the only thing that's going to help them. All these other things, we should be aware of what's going on in the world. I think, you know, churches that don't deal with prophecy and end times, ridiculous. Jesus held the Jews accountable for not knowing the season that they were in. We need to be aware of it, but we can't let it cause us to fear, become angry and mad. I don't know if you've noticed this. You may not have, but government is corrupt. Oh, some of you do know that. Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, they need to get saved. Exactly. And so let's not lose our focus. Let's not fight amongst ourselves. You know, like I said, you know, when we were allowed to open the church up again, if people wanted to stay home because they were afraid of getting COVID, praise God, watch us online. That's awesome. If you want to wear a mask in here, if anyone ever came against someone for wearing a mask in here, I'm going to smack you on the back of the head because I'm Italian. I can do that. I don't care. You could wear a mask. That's fine. We're all adults. Let's not fight amongst each other with these things. And that's just one example. We need to work together for the cause of Christ because jealousy and pride is a bomb that will explode and destroy relationships, destroy lives. And Gideon, I love the guy, he defused that bomb so it didn't explode. There was no casualties here. And my prayer is that we would do the same, that we have that wisdom of God, allow our jealousy and pride to be put away and walk in humility and just encourage people, Christians, to go forward for the cause of Christ, and non-Christians to come to Christ. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, oh, what a wonderful story. Just three verses, Lord. And, you know, maybe it took a little longer than just three verses to deal with this, but it was dealt with. And Gideon defused that bomb before it exploded and caused all kinds of chaos and a mess, a division which is within the children of Israel. And Lord, may we learn this lesson. It's a tough one. Pride and jealousy, it's not something that we think about a lot. And a lot of times it just kind of sneaks up on us and all of a sudden there we are. Pride, jealous. And we didn't even see it coming. Help us to be aware of these things, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves before you. And as you tell us in James, that you are the one who will lift us up to places we can never imagine. If we want to be proud and arrogant and jealous and raise ourselves up, we're going to be brought down. I mean, think about it. What are the trees that get struck by lightning? They're the tallest trees, but the ones that are low don't. As we stand tall and proud, man, we're going to get struck down. But as we bow before the Lord and humble ourselves, we're in the safety of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, just deal with those issues in our lives and help us to walk in the victory you've given to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.